been a while since we've been together. At least it seems like a long time. And a lot has happened in each of our lives, all of our lives. And I don't quite know where to begin, but I want to focus on why we're here. And that is because Jesus brought us here. And by his Holy Spirit, he continues to work in his people. And he leads us in the way of life. And he continually is making us new. He's continually bringing us to his finished end, his ultimate, in which we call the kingdom of God, the heavenly kingdom, God's kingdom, whatever, heaven. And this is what's going to be a part of our scripture. We're going to be primarily in 2 Corinthians passage, chapter 3 primarily. And but I want to read a psalm that's also part of our reading for today. We're into some really joyful praise psalms lately in our readings. I want to read Psalm 99. The Lord our God is holy. The Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim, let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion, he is exalted over all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he. The king in his might loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord. Our God, worship at his footstool, holy is he. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel also was among those who called upon his name. They called on the Lord and he answered them. In the pillar of the cloud he spoke to them. They kept his testimonies and the statute that he gave them. O Lord our God, you answered them. You were a forgiving God to them, but an avenger of the wrongdoers. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I was having a little trouble trying to figure out how to get together my thoughts for today. I was asked to do the message some month ago, 2 months ago already, we mentioned that, it's been with me. But it's been difficult lately. Things in our life have been quite difficult. I don't know, I guess I should just say, we're here because the Lord brought us here. We got a taste of COVID in a way that we didn't want or expect. We knew that we were walking in unknowns in some ways. We went to Michigan the 13th of October, and it was to be with Mary's sister, who has cancer, and is they're close. They'd like to be together. And then an aunt was having her 80th birthday, and somehow the family was together, and they said, we can come together for that, a birthday. 80th birthday, that's pretty significant. So we went to Michigan, and it was great. I mean, we got closer than we liked at the gathering together. But most of the time, we felt like we were able to keep our perspective straight. And even then, it was a wonderful expression of generations coming together. A lot of young people and even a couple babies, and all the way to Barb, who was 80. So it was good. And we got back home, and we drove up from Seattle, and we got home, and we were in the house about a half hour, and we got a call from Michigan that Mary's brother-in-law was in the hospital with COVID. And so immediately our mindset was different. We had to change our perspective. And so we were involved, we had made a commitment, or we would talk, Mary and I talked with them and them before, that if anything like this happened, we would use the nebulizer that was we heard mentioned, where you run some medication through a breather. You breathe into it and you blow out. And anyway, some of you know all about that. Anyway, so we both a couple of my brother-in-law, he came out of the hospital after a day. They immediately put him on a nebulizer, and his wife also went very soon. And then Mary and I didn't know what the situation was for sure, but we knew we were exposed. But we finally, on Friday of that, we got home on Wednesday, and Friday we had an appointment and saw a doctor, and she tested us and said we were, and boy, we found out a day later that we had it also. So we were going to be sitting close to home and waiting this thing out. They told us from November 1, that we would be, if everything was well, it would pass, and we would be okay, be out and about and so on. So they figured a couple of weeks. They figured we'd contact it a couple of days before we got home. Anyway, we came home, and we were home for a while, and all of a sudden, we were hearing other people were getting COVID also that had been with us. And one of them was Barb, the 80-year-old sister-in-law. She had tested negative at first, so we assumed that everything was fine. She was with two of her sons that had come in to be with her. But somehow, somewhere, the sons went back, and within a couple of days, somehow she must have gone through some breathing problems, and all of a sudden there was a call that she was mixed up, confused. And the next thing, a friend of hers, and they got her to the hospital. But something happened. Just in a short time, she had got enough oxygen to her brain, and she was getting confused, and she didn't seem to be getting better. So we were concerned about her. We had been praying for her, and to make a long story short, yesterday we got a word that Barbara died at Holland Hospital. So I'm saying, some of you were aware, I just talked to Mitch today, because it went so fast. I mean, we were coming through it. I mean, we felt great. I mean, we were feeling, there was hardly anything. We had a little cough here and there, but they said that would probably be there for a bit. But the fever had been gone for several days, but she didn't get well, and so, again, you know, you go through all kinds of things. What we went through was, we celebrated her 80th birthday in a way that nothing could have been better for her. I mean, she was in her climate. I mean, she was, but there was also, some of the lines were drawn without thinking things through, which is what's happening a lot around people. But then again, there's still a need to live. So anyway, I'm not going to go through all that. I'm simply saying we're here by God's grace. And all of us are here by God's grace. And so we sing, "Great is thy faithfulness." And I believe he's been faithful to Barb all the way. I don't think that she could have thought of a better way for her to go. The kind of a spirit woman that she was, it was her way to go. But she wasn't lying to him, I'm sure. It was a total surprise. But anyway, that's what we're in, and we knew we were in this kind of stuff, and it's all around us, and it's still there. But the Word of God is what's constant in all this, and we still come together to encourage each other. We're going to make mistakes, On the other hand, is it a mistake in God's timing, in God's picture? We don't know. We act in faith. That's what the scriptures tell us. That if we're acting in faith in the Lord, believing and trusting Him to lead us, that we're acting rightly. If we're acting with all kinds of fears and anxieties and stuff holding us so that we get immobilized and all that, that's not of the Lord. But we struggle with it. And I struggle with it. I'm very easily afraid and anxious and worrisome, worrying. I mean, I can worry over anything and for a long time, and I keep saying here in the Lord, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. And I just worry. But I know God is with us, and I know that we need to encourage one another. Yes, be careful. Yes, use some good thinking. But I also know there's times when it's not going to be that easy. It's not going to be that clear. And yet, God is in charge. We're not fearful of death because we know that ultimately Christ has overcome death for us and we live. And so anyway, which stands out, it's Paul is struggling with those Corinthians. They are conflict to him. They don't do things well. They're immoral. They're noisy and they're divisive and they got all these stuff, all this kind of stuff. They could mess up anything. They had to be told about everything they needed to do. They had to be told. And they had to be, Paul was writing letters to him. He was going to want to visit to him at different times. And then he held back because he was concerned that he was going to be overpowering to him. It's a whole, this whole letter is it's the second letter, and some of them say there's four letters. And this was the fourth letter that Paul had already written. But anyway, it's talking about a relationship as Paul sees himself in the Lord and as he wants to impart to them who they are in the Lord. And to try to get past the stuff which so much could easily divide them. And it was dividing them. They were going through some real struggles. Divisiveness in the church, immorality and how to deal with it, and all kinds of things like that. But anyway, here, I want to start with chapter 2. And there's a couple pictures that Paul leaves in these first chapters of Corinthians that are for, like chapter 2, 3, and 4, and even 5. There's several of them are just really precious as he uses certain descriptions to say, to speak out who he is in the midst of all the conflict of how they think he is and how he should be and why he isn't quite a great leader like he should be and all that kind of thing. And it's all those kinds of things that comes involved. But anyway, he says in chapter 2, verse 14, he starts out, "But thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one a fragrance from death to death, to the other a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God in the sight of God, we speak in Christ." There he's setting himself, setting his position in Christ. He speaks because God is there. In his life, God lives within him by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and he pictures us as he pictures Paul and the leaders that Paul, other apostles and teachers, he pictures them as people along with the people he's talking to, that we are the aroma. There's an aroma about us, and he says, for those who are perishing, it's a deadly odor. And it's kind of picturing that we're not very, we don't smell real good to people who don't like what we have to say. And if we're talking about Jesus, We're talking about the Lord, that you need to be saved, that you need to deal with your sinfulness, you need to come to grips with God, you need to be forgiven. And you reject that, then the message is not very pleasant. In other words, you're a bad odor to them. But for those who are being saved, to those who are experiencing the pulling of God in their life and the movement of God to bring them unto himself, then the aroma that they're smelling is good. It's a good smell. It draws people. It draws them too. And he says, this is in Christ. So that picture of the aroma is one of the, that one stands out immediately. Then he goes on to the ministers of a new covenant. He says, are we beginning to commend ourselves here? This is in chapter 3. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you? He says, but now listen, he says, you yourselves are the letter of recommendation written on our hearts to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on the tablets of human hearts. And Paul again, and it takes another description. He says, do I got to have recommendations that I'm doing okay? Before I can come and see you, do I have to have a written approval? He says, you're my approval. You've been with me from the beginning. You heard my message. I'm not switching it. I'm not playing games with you. This is the message that I have received and the message I've passed on. And it's real and it's true. And we don't have to play these games in our relationship together. I'm genuine. I'm not living in a deceitful manner. I'm not playing games. And I'm genuine. And that's what Paul was putting forth. He says, this is the way that we, this is what it is all about in Christ. You live that way. It comes naturally as we move and grow in Christ. We live in a way that we're not trying to pull the wool over anyone's eyes. We're not trying to be deceitful. We're living in the light with each other. And Paul shows how this has to be the case, otherwise they're not going to make it. This is a growth that has to be taking place with Paul and his people that he's dealing with. He says, such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of a letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And there he's talking about the sufficiency. He says we don't measure up. It's not because we're such great leaders. It's not because we're such great guys. It's not because we've got all our acts together. It's because Jesus is our sufficiency. God is the one who makes us sufficient. We can't sell ourselves. In fact, that's not what we're to be doing. To sell ourselves. To try to impress people with who we are. This is not of the Lord, Paul said. And he said, this is what I'm not. We're not sufficient in and of ourselves. We're sufficient because of what God has done in Christ Jesus by his Holy Spirit. By his Holy Spirit. And here he takes that movement in and he traces the struggle between those who live by the letter of the law and those who live by the Spirit. He's saying that this is the message that he brings. Now let's go back just a little bit and you can get a picture of, let's read the next passage. Now if the ministry of death, verse 7, ministry of death, and he's talking about the ministry of death, he's talking about the law. When the law was given, actually it called people, It made people aware that they're going to die, that death was at hand unless they got the law and they listened and did what the law said. So he said, now if the ministry of death, carved in letters of stone, came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end. Will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, which I'm saying, they were under the law, were condemned. Under the law of God, we are condemned. That's what the law says. You can't make it. You can't make it. And if you break one law, you've broken them all. They're all, that's what the scriptures say. That's what the people understood as the way it was. But he says, if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. So this is the righteousness. It's the righteousness of God is Jesus Christ. If you take Paul in Romans and whatever, that's what the righteousness of God is. The righteousness is not how, that we can keep the law right. We can't do it. They couldn't do it. Even though they were called to live righteous lives, they were still faced with the reality that we're missing it. And it was only by God's grace even then that they made it through. But not because they were able to save themselves. They weren't. The law was not going to save them. But indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all because of the glory that surpasses it. He says, now that you've come to the glory that's being revealed, it is so far away beyond what the law did that the law is no longer impotent for it. It's impotent now. It's not powerful to do anything. He says, since we have such a hope, for if what was being brought to an end came to glory, much more what was permanent had glory. In other words, the permanent is now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Since we have such a hope, he says, we are very bold, and not like Moses who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened, for to that day when they read the old covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. The veil that Moses put over his face to protect the people so they wouldn't see the brightness of God's face in him, God's glory in him. He's saying that in Jesus Christ, he says it was taken away. Only in Jesus Christ. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And he switches from the fact that Jesus is our righteousness. The veil has been removed. We no longer need to be covered. The glory of God shows through in Jesus Christ freely. And he says it's because of Jesus that this has happened. And he says, now the Lord is the Spirit. Jesus and the Spirit, Jesus coming to save us, and the Spirit of His Spirit living within us is one and the same. Yes, to this day. But he says, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And now we are identified as free people. We are free in Jesus Christ. The veil has been removed. We have access to the Father. Our sins are forgiven, and we are a new people. This is what Paul is trying to speak. And he constantly gets in trouble, not only with the Corinthians, but it goes one way or the other. You either got the group that is saying you have to keep the law, you have to do it this way, you have to do it straight. You got to be circumcised, otherwise you can't be saved. Or you go to the other side where they're saying we should be able to do whatever we want. And that was happening in Corinth too. There was one scene there where a man was living with his father's wife, and Paul says, how could you let this go? He says, you can't just let this kind of thing go. This is not who you are. But these both were going on, and so Paul was in the middle of that. If he went one way, he got one group angry, and he went the other way, he got the other group angry. It was not a good place to be, and you can feel the tension, and it's constantly, if you read his letters, most all of them have those, either one or the other, or both, functioning in the same. And in Corinth, he was having to deal with both of them. But he's saying that now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. And he says, for this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. He talks about we are being transformed. And the word transformed is one of the, it's a favorite word in the New Testament, and it means metamorphosis. And it's a beautiful expression. Anyone who remembers how that worm turns and becomes a beautiful butterfly? And the process, we used to, I can't remember it all, but I know that we had to study it in science. It was basic, just basic to life, how this happened. It was miraculous. Well, Paul is saying, that's the truth in my life and in your lives also, that we are being transformed. We are being metamorphosized from one degree of glory to another. We're not static. We're part of a movement that's going on. We think of the Israelites. There was a movement going on throughout the history of mankind, from man falling into sin and God continually coming back to them and finally bringing in the law on Mount Sinai and continually moving toward bringing them along. And the prophets came and there was more and more. There's always a prophetic movement ahead. Without the movement ahead to believe that the Messiah was coming and the final and this would be the ultimate of God's mercy and grace. And this not only happens with the whole people, it happens with each of us individually as God's people. If you think you've got problems now and you don't like yourself or whatever, I mean, there's a movement going on. God's changing you from glory to glory. He's changing you to be what he desires you to be, what he intended you to be from the beginning, what he intended me to be from the beginning. And that's good news. And that's the message Paul brings to this people in the midst of all their stuff. And to me, it helps me to think in terms of growing, you know, and death is also, it's been defeated, and we're being translated to our heavenly kingdom. That's a part of the growth. It's not a turning back. When you get the word that somebody died that was close to you, all of a sudden you think, whoa! And it tells you all kinds of stuff to you because you know the person, and that's not the way it's supposed to be. And it's not. But then God's entered into that whole process, and it's good because of the way God made it. And we as people live with hope. We are in that process. We're not static. We're moving, and sometimes that's going to be hellish experiences, and sometimes it's going to be unbelievable where we feel glimpses of heaven itself. But we're still here unless God's taking us, and he will. And we should be ready not only to weep with those who weep, but to rejoice with those who rejoice too, because both of them are a part of what we have in Christ Jesus. And death is not in control. Let's pray. Father, this is a special day because you are here. And you speak into our lives. And you want us to continually to bless each other with the words of truth from your word. To bless each other with reminders that we are people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. And that we continue to seek that filling. That we never quit and say somehow, I've got it. I've got it all here. God, we want all that you have for us. That you want for us. And we want to have an attitude of expectancy, even in the midst of times when it looks hopeless. Help us to look with expectancy and believe that you are a God of hope. You're a God of faithfulness. and we can depend on you, Lord. You never give up. You are the creator. You continue to create. You continue to teach us and want us to be creative, blessing others with the good things that you have around us and given us. Father, you are to be glorified in this day. Thank you. In Jesus' name.